Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
It is a great day. It is a wonderful day. It was a little brisk this morning. I said it was cold this morning. I believe that when I said that in class, I might have been the only one up at 2:30 in the morning outside. So it was a lot brisker then than when we got here this morning. But it was cold, and people say, you're from Colorado. You should be used to that. Yeah, but I was born in California. I grew up where it was sunshine all the time. So, and they've had 100-degree weather days here the last couple of days, but wonderful day to be here. And I want to make a couple of announcements for Thanksgiving and for other things. First off, there are a few men that came up this weekend, and you can tell if you look outside, they've trimmed the shrub and they cleaned up the outside. And so I want to thank the men that did that. I believe Jeff and Brady and the McDonald's and John came up and took care of that. I know they're not looking for credit, but we're very thankful for that. And also, I want to make mention, you know, with Andy, it's already been mentioned before that he is really struggling physically with his health, but I'd also like to encourage you, if you want to go visit, to try and make sure you contact Melissa first, maybe text her or something, let her know, and she'll be able to tell you if it's a good time or not, because sometimes he is in a lot of pain and really hurting, and other times he's doing better. So try to do that when you're thinking about going up there. Just try to contact and make sure it's going to work and be a good thing for Andy and everyone. Some of you are parents right now, going through it, teaching your young children certain things. Some of you are grown up and you remember your parents teaching you a few things. And the one that I want us to remember this morning is, when your child asks for something, remember saying, what do you say? We're supposed to say what? Please, right? Or sometimes we'll say, what's the magic word, right? They need to say please. And then they receive it, they receive what they requested. Now, what do we say again? What do you say? Thank you, right? We try to encourage that thanksgiving. And we do that, and it's kind of this rote thing where we make this a habit that they do, and we're trying to enforce in their minds the fact that when you ask for something, you ask in a kind way. You make a request in a way that is pleasing, not one that's, hey, give it to me now, right? We don't want that. We want, can I please have this? And then usually someone is more than gracious to give it. We also want them to be thankful for what they've received. Now, they might say it. I always love it when I'm talking with our kids and there's been a fight and they have to come together and they have to hug and they have to say what? I'm sorry, right? And you hear those sorries, and what are they?
Sorry.
And you're listening. You didn't mean that. Well, you just said to say the word, right? So it's not just the saying of the word that's important. It's the feeling that goes behind it, right? It's the heart that goes into that thanksgiving, that apology, that please. To understand the reason you're using those words is so important. And within Scripture, we have an encouragement to make sure that we are thankful to God. That we are giving thanks to Him. That's one of the things we do when we come together on a Sunday, is we give thanks to Him. In the songs, in some of the songs that we sing, we're expressing our thanksgiving to Him. If we partake of the Lord's Supper and we have those prayers, we're expressing not only in our obedience, not only in obedience, but our thanksgiving for what He's done through His Son on our behalf. And here in Luke chapter 17, you have these 10 lepers that are twins. Now, within this section, I believe the main thrust is Jesus is teaching on faith. He's wanting people to understand faith, and I think that's the main thrust. And if you go through the beginning part of this, in verses 11 through 13, it says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You have this confession of faith. Who did they turn to? They saw Jesus, and they said, he's the one. They were putting their faith in him, and they were crying out to him, have mercy on us. And then it says in verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So there was this command for them. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as far as we can tell, what? All of them get up and all of them start traveling to the priests. They're going to do what Jesus said. But what's awesome is you see the power that Jesus has. He's got the power over time and space, over any illness and sickness. They're walking to the priest. Now this was something you were to do as a leprous person. It's in the law that they were to go to the priest to show that they had been cleansed so that they could be brought back into the fold and be with other people, because they were separated from all the people. And now if they've been healed, they're trying to get back. And so he says, go show yourselves to the priests. I mean, they hadn't been healed yet at that moment. But he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And it's while they're on their way that they are healed. It shows the power that Jesus has, that miraculous power. And on their way, they're healed, and therefore can present themselves to the priests as what? As clean, as being cleansed, and they can be brought back into the fold, into all of the Israelites. They can go to the markets, they can go and do all the things that they did before they had this disease. Well, what we find in this isn't just the faith that they had to cry out to Jesus, but the faith that they had to walk and go show themselves to the priests and to listen to that command. But we see this gratefulness, this thanksgiving that comes out through one of them. And as you look at this in verses 15 and following here, it says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. See, he believed in Jesus. He believed to the point of getting up and walking, just like all the others did. But as soon as he realized he'd been healed, he says, I've got to go thank this man. I've got to just shout out with glory and joy to God and thanksgiving to him that I've been healed. So he makes this journey back. He runs back giving thanks to Jesus. But it also makes this note in verse 16. He was a Samaritan. So he's one of these guys that's just, they don't get along with the Jews. They're the ugly stepchild, the red-headed stepchild. Sorry about all those who might have read here. But there he is. They're the outcast, the Samaritan. And yet, it's the Samaritan that comes back filled with joy, filled with thanksgiving. And that's something that we should have, understanding who we are in our relationship with God. The fact that he has cleansed us, that he has made us whole in his son, we should be overflowing with gratitude. In fact, that's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 there. He talks about being rooted in Christ, but he goes on to say, overflow with gratitude. In Philippians chapter 4, as Paul writes there, talking about being anxious, and he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in your prayers and your supplications, with what? With thanksgiving. Seems like in all of Paul's letters and in many of these letters, there's this section that says, hey, let's not forget to be thankful. And not just let's not forget to be thankful, but it should be a part of who you are in your relationship with God. It should be flowing from within and going out and giving thankful. Also look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. in verse 18 where Paul says, in everything, give thanks. I understand that sometimes in everything makes us feel like, I don't know about everything I should be thankful for. I mean, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that, all these horrible things. How can I be thankful right now? Well, be thankful because of your relationship with God. Because of being in Christ, you can have thankfulness, you can have joy, you can have all those good emotions. Because of that relationship, no matter what is happening from around you or from the outside, no matter what happens, you can have thanksgiving. And even in the midst of trials, we find things to be thankful for. And how that trial is helping us to grow or to get better at something. Might take us a little while, but we find it. We'll figure it out. It's not just this account here in Luke chapter 17, but there's some other accounts within Scripture that have, at least in my mind, encouraged this attitude of thanksgiving. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you have another account of a leprous man, and that is Naaman. And he has heard about from a servant girl in his household, she was an Israelite, he heard about this prophet in Israel. And so he goes to his king and asks permission to go to Israel. The king gives him a letter, gives him gold, gives him all these riches, gives him 10 days worth of clothes, gives him all these things to go and travel to Jerusalem, to go before the king and ask to meet this prophet who can save him, who can heal this leprosy. And Naaman is before the king, and the king tears his clothes. This king says, what am I going to do? How am I going to heal this man? How can I do this? And if I don't do this, then great, Assyria and all these people are going to be at our back door. If I don't heal this man, this is what's going to happen. So the king's throwing a fit. When the prophet hears about it, he says, bring him to me. And he tells him to go wash Jordan 7 times. Notice that's a little bit different than what Jesus did with the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, isn't it? Luke 17, Jesus says, go on and present yourselves to the priests. They go, and on the way, they are healed. Naaman is told, you need to wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Now, he's not very happy about that, is he? In fact, he's upset. I traveled all this way just for you to tell me to go dip and wash myself 7 times in a river, in this water that is dirtier, that is worse than any water we have in my land? And he walks away. He doesn't want to do it. His pride is keeping him from doing it, and it takes one of his servants to convince him, hey, just give it a shot, right? What do you have to lose? You do this 7 times and you still have leprosy? Hey, nothing changed. And if you do it, and it's healed. And that's exactly what happened. He's healed, and he goes back, and he's ready to give everything the king gave him to give as an offering, as a thanksgiving for what's happened to him, for his health to be back to normal. We need to be a thankful people. If there's anyone on earth who should be full of thanksgiving, it's us. It's Christian. People look at us, they shouldn't see a sad face. They shouldn't see people who are upset. They should see people who are thankful. When things aren't going right in the world, when we see the president making decisions that we don't agree with, or the judges making decisions we don't agree with, or here, these people voted for somebody I didn't think should serve, or all those things. We get frustrated, we get upset that what I thought should happen didn't happen. Is that what people are seeing? Or do they see the fact that you put your hope, your life, in God's hand? That, yeah, I would have liked to have this guy serve. I would like to have this person do this. But in the grand scheme of things, that's not what's really important. It's my relationship with God that is important. And I am thankful and I can have joy with whatever the judges do, with whatever the president decides to do, even though I might disagree with it. I can still be thankful because of God, because of Christ, because of what they've done for me. There's another instance, there's another example within Scripture with Abigail and David. Now, Abigail is one who is thankful for David and for his mighty men and the protection that they've given in 1 Samuel chapter 25. David and his men have protected Nabal and his men. They have gone and done the work that they needed to do. And as Nabal is going through all the riches that he's gained because David has protected his servants, his men, David sends some servants to ask for some help. Because, hey, I've protected you. I've done some of these things so that you can have these riches. Now, could you return the favor? Could you give us some of the things that we need? Some of the food, some of the clothing, some of the items that we would need. And Nabal is a wealthy, selfish man and a hard man. And he's not willing to do it. And Abigail gets word, his wife, that David is going to come with his mighty men and destroy him. That no man is going to be left alive. And as Nabal is having a great feast in his home, and he's showing off everything that he's had, that he's gained, and he's drunk, Abigail is off meeting David before he gets there. Laying down before him some of the goods that he and his men made, giving him thanks for what he's done for her husband, his men. At the end of that account, Nabal does lose his life. Not because David came and took it or his men took it, but the Lord took his life for his actions, for his ingratitude. I had a teacher that used to say all the time, there is nothing worse than an ingrate. Someone that is not thankful. I understand that we've spent a lot of time this weekend on Thursday. Some of you may have even had some turkey and leftovers this morning. By the way, if you've had turkey, I don't care what that chemical in it does, you got to stay awake for the turkey. It doesn't excuse you to go to sleep. We've been thankful for a lot of things over this week. And I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for this church family. I'm grateful for all the blessings that God has given me. And I know that many of you went around the table or did something to express your thanksgiving on the day of Thanksgiving. That is a national holiday in the United States. It's been celebrated annually since 1863. There were days of Thanksgiving instituted or proclamations made by George Washington and Abraham Lincoln or Congress at various times throughout our history, but it wasn't until 1863 that it became a more annual occurrence. And then after that time, there were other laws put in place, other things, amendments put in place to make it a specific day, the fourth Thursday of November. But the reason these leaders did that is so that we could be reminded and have a focus that everything we've been given, everything you've been blessed with in this nation is because of Almighty God. That's why it was originally instituted. I know nowadays not everybody's going to do that on Thanksgiving. But they recognize the fact that them coming together as the United States, they recognize as these farmers, as these people that had just gained their freedom, that this was a blessing that they had done. My challenge to you this morning and for this week is to count your blessings. Now, you might need a lot more pen and paper than you think, or if you can just do it on a laptop or an iPad or something, that'd be better too. But count your blessings, and don't just count them. But as you write them down, I want you to pick out one of the people in that list. Because I guarantee you, you're going to put somebody's name down. You're probably going to put multiple people's names down. As you do that, I want you to pick one of them and express your thankfulness to them for what they've meant to you, what they've done for you. It could be a simple card. It could be a call. It could be a visit. I don't care how you do it. But take the challenge and express your thanksgiving to them. I know that we've expressed our thanksgiving to God in multiple ways this week. I want to take a moment now to have a prayer and express our thanksgiving together. And then I'll give the invitation. We'll have the invitations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the blessings that you've given to us. We recognize the physical blessings, the good health that we may have, even in these moments of the bad health that we have, we're still finding blessings within it. And Father, we pray that we will continue to recognize these blessings, and not just recognize them, but as we do, give thanks for them. To be thankful for our leaders, for the elders here, for the deacons who are serving. Be thankful for this membership, every individual Christian that is here, Father, that is working, that is worshiping, that is praising you. We are thankful for what you've done for us, for the love that you've shown in sending your Son, that he would be that sacrifice for our sins. While we were sinners, he died for us. Such a great expression of love. Father, we hope to emulate that love towards you, that we would treat you with respect and honor and give you the glory, as this man did in Luke chapter 17, when he recognized that he was healed. Immediately, he started glorifying you. Father, I pray that we will give you all the glory, all the thanks, for the grace, and mercy, and love that you've shown and given for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If there's anyone here this morning that recognizes the need in their life for the relationship with God, a relationship in which you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This leper who came back and fell at Jesus' feet, he said that he was thankful. But Jesus turned and said, "Your faith has made you well," or saved you. I don't think Jesus is talking about just the physical healing that this man had, but Jesus noticed the spiritual side of him, that he truly believed, and that faith was a saving faith and an example for us. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who he said he is, we're ready to put him on in baptism this morning. The invitation is for you while we stand, while we sing.